Now, could destroying a field of plants be the same as burning books? That's what some scientists are claiming in the face of action by protesters being threatened in 10 days' time on planned trials of genetically modified wheat in Rothamsted in Hertfordshire. Scientists there admit they can't prevent what they plant being destroyed, but are pleading to be allowed to continue. Well, in a moment, we'll bring together for the first time the head of the project and one of the leading activists from the group Take the Flower Back. But first, our science editor, Susan Watts, has been looking at the claims and counterclaims.
This is GM wheat, the first of its kind in the world. It's been modified to repel aphid pests, which cost farmers millions in lost yield and damage to crops. Researchers want to test it in the open air. But opponents say the trial's a risk, and some plan to destroy it, prompting an unusual YouTube plea from the team that created it.
We know we cannot stop you taking the action you're planning to take, but please reconsider before it's too late and before several years' worth of work to which we have been devoting our lives will be destroyed forever.
We appeal to you as environmentalists.
Toby Bruce is one of the researchers. The wheat has an added gene that makes it release a pheromone, or chemical signal, similar to one aphids produce naturally to alert one another to danger.
The idea of these plants is to repel the aphids but attract in their natural enemies.
In this demo, if a drop of the alarm signal is placed near the aphids, they crawl away at quite a pace for an aphid. With what they say are spectacular lab results, the next step is for the scientists to see if their modified wheat works outside. But the head of their cereal transformation lab told us they're having to take extraordinary measures.
The fence is there for two reasons. It's there to protect the trial from foxes and rabbits that might want to get in and eat our plants, but it's also to prevent access to unauthorised humans.
And that includes the protesters. They've installed CCTV and an infrared beam around the edge of the field. It's not easy to get close to these plants, but security is expensive, a quarter of the project's total cost so far. Opponents say the work should stay in the lab, because out in the open there's a risk GM pollen will travel beyond the test field. But the scientists say the risk of that happening is tiny.
Wheat is self-pollinated. I mean, it isn't pollinated by wind or by insects, and excess pollen will then fall to the ground. But it's incredibly heavy, and it's got a very short lifespan. Once it's outside the flower, it'll last for an hour or less.
The experimental plants sit inside a buffer zone designed to lower the risk of any GM pollen escaping. Peter Lundgren is a conventional farmer in Lincolnshire and a vocal critic of this trial. He grows wheat and rears Gloucester Old Spot pigs. He's baffled as to why the scientists have chosen to test a type of wheat that's hardly grown in the UK.
It's irrelevant because spring wheat, which is a variety that's been used for this trial, is only 1% of the UK wheat crop. This crop behind me is winter wheat. That's the 99% that we depend on to feed this nation and feed our animals on.
The scientists say their choice of spring wheat worked best with the timing restrictions on the project, and that they may now move on to test winter wheat. But Peter's not convinced this is something he needs at all.
If aphids become a problem in spring wheat, and they don't always become a problem by any means, then I've got access to selective insecticides that are reasonably safe to use with bees and ladybirds and others, and only cost me about £2 or £3 an acre anyway.
He wouldn't go so far as to destroy the GM wheat, but he is concerned such crops pose a risk to farmers' livelihoods.
For instance, in America, where a small trial in rice landed up contaminating the whole United States rice harvest. So there is the potential for enormous damage.
That incident with GM rice, not an isolated example of contamination, prompted temporary bans in 2006 by Japan and Russia on rice imports from the US after trace amounts of a non-authorised GM rice were found in commercial supplies. Protesters objected to research trials partly because of that leakiness in the food chain when GM crops were first planted out in the UK some 10 years ago. They saw this as a technology being forced on consumers who didn't want it, and which put multinational corporations, such as Monsanto, in charge, not farmers. Europe entered a decade of stalemate over GM agriculture, but elsewhere, the area of land planted with GM crops has increased steadily. The latest figures from the industry indicate that some 160 million hectares of GM crops, such as soybean and maize, were grown across the globe last year. The top three growers were the US, Brazil, and Argentina, followed by Canada and India. China grew nearly 4 million hectares. Little was grown on the African continent beyond the 2.5 million hectares in South Africa. And Europe is still hanging back, with less than 1 million hectares of GM crops grown last year. Many scientists take the view that since such a volume of GM crops has now been grown and eaten around the world, any serious problem would be apparent by now, whether harm to human health or widespread impact on the environment. The National Farmers Union says we'll need every tool in our toolbox to meet future food demands, including GM crops that can cope in dry conditions, need fewer pesticides, or offer nutritional benefits.
We see a lot of this as being public good, because one of the things we can do is offer something that maybe industry would never come up with, the reduction of the use of chemicals. We need to prime the pump with new ideas that can give alternatives. So first of all, it's giving choice in the overall system, so that we can actually do some public good by reducing pesticide use. And I think the general public are certainly interested in that.
But campaigners argue there's not yet been the systematic data collection to be certain of the effects of GM.
Well, we're not saying stop doing research on GM, but we want it in the lab until we fully understand how genes work, how they relate to the environment, how they relate to each other, and what makes them, you know, what makes them tick, really. We don't know all that yet, and therefore we shouldn't be really introducing things into the environment and into the food chain until we've got a pretty good understanding of it. Way beyond what we've got at the moment.
Some campaigners say there's a third way. Scientists have decoded entire genetic maps for staple crops. Here you see a model of the way rice genes interact. This means they can select plants that carry desirable genetic traits and breed from those rather than adding in extra genes. Meanwhile, the scientists at Rothamsted concede they don't have all the answers, which is why they want to conduct their GM experiment. The protesters argue that the trial represents a threat to British farming, and if the scientists won't stop it, they say, they will.
Susan Watts there. We'll hear in what is a completely GM-free studio Professor John Pickett from Rothamsted Research Institute, Jody Fernandez from the campaign group Take the Flower Back, Lawrence Woodward, who advises on the methods and principles of organic farming, and Tracy Brown from Sense and Science. It's great to have you all here. Thanks for coming in. And Jody, we heard there from a speaker who said he certainly didn't want to stop the research, even though he was against GM. Mm-hmm. Are you going to let this trial go ahead?
Well, I certainly believe in the power of nonviolent direct action in illustrating something that is a really important principle, which is the fact that this is the sort of science we don't want progress to move in the direction of, because it's really dangerous. I feel very strongly that it's important to look at the wider cultural and social implications of GM agriculture.
So
I think it's a really dangerous stamp of validity when you look at this very flawed trial.
Will you actually stop it? Will you stop it from going ahead?
I would stop it from going ahead.
You will uproot the plants?
I would like to decide on the day whether or not that's a valid action, but I believe that it's really important to state that you're going to be able to do this sort of thing in order to get on Newsnight and talk about it and, you know, sort of say, can we enter into debate about this? Because people have been writing lots and lots of letters. People have been entering into consultations. You know, all the GM protesters have been saying for over a decade, we don't want government research to be focused on GM technology when there's other solutions on the table that we could be researching. And nobody's listening.
And
so we need to take direct action to illustrate what we need to
do. We have really got a mandate by having achieved the research grant for doing this work. It's top science, and it's in the direction of producing food in a more sustainable way. we're using GM only experimentally at the moment. It's not going into the food chain. It's not part of a commercial development.
But what do you mean by sustainability?
What I mean by sustainability is that if you can deliver crop protection through the seed, if you can have in the plant its own way of dealing with pests, then you don't need to drive a tractor over the crop with a spray on it.
And the carbon footprint. Ways that, by
yes,
holistic and, ecosystem management.
Yes, as you, you know, we work in Africa. We work in Africa in just that way because, in fact, there people are not buying fertilizers and not buying seed, so you can't deliver it in that way. We use companion cropping, as you may in organic farming.
John Pickett, let me ask you something because you said this was purely for science, but you've said in the past that companies are keeping a watching brief, and you're being wined and dined very heavily by academic groups in the USA. There is money to be made for you out of this.
Not for us, no. We do our work on the basis of getting grants to do research, elite research, which we get during the process of competitive tendering, as it were, with due regard to our peers and what they consider.
But it's naive to say this is just science for science's sake.
Well, it's not science for science's sake at all. Now, I did say that it was in the direction of sustainability. I've explained why it's leading to a sustainable approach to agriculture, which we need because of the...
Well,
if you want to go out and companion plant in a wheat crop in Britain, you will have to put a lot more labour in.
I'm a farmer.
Yes,
I'm a full-time farmer.
Yes,
I know
indeed.
Farmers all
yes,
around
indeed.
Me
and
who
I,
do companion planting. They plant banks of wildflowers
and
all
I
along
work
the edges
very
of the
closely,
field. They've got mounds in the middle of the field.
I work very closely with farmers
here.
In the UK and in Africa.
Yeah. I'm going to bring in Lawrence because you have spoken thought a lot about the organic farming, and this in a way sounds like it is the grown-up version, the green version of GM a decade on, isn't it?
No, not at all, no. And my background is certainly organic farming, but I'm involved now with a group of citizens concerned about GM, not necessarily opposed to GM, but concerned about GM, and our concerns about this trial, first of all, we don't believe it's necessary. Secondly, we don't believe that the process of vetting the trial and licensing the trial has been adequate. And thirdly, if we're talking about grown-up ecology, Rothamsted and other research groups reported 2005, a three-year trial, over £1 million of taxpayers' money spent looking at ecological interactions, dealing with aphids, without using GM, without using chemicals, looking at the farming system, the hedgerows, the surrounds of the fields. This has not been taken into account in this trial.
So are you saying stop that science completely now? We've had enough.
I'm saying this trial is unnecessary. It's on a crop that really doesn't suffer from aphid problems. And I
but
really
you don't
wonder,
like this kind of science at all, right?
I think, as was said in the film, I think the GM research really needs to be done in controlled environments. When you take it out into the field, it raises bigger problems, bigger risks, and those need to be assessed properly.
And
our regulatory system doesn't do that, and we need a question about need.
Well, I think we need to be clear here that we are talking about a controlled environment in the sense that this research is going on in an experimental setting.
No, it's not a controlled environment.
Just let us speak.
But I think the thing that we're looking to researchers to find out are the very answers to the questions that you are posing. And if we cut off that research line, we aren't going to answer it. I mean, it's foolish. I agree.
Should it matter that the public has consistently shown itself to be against this kind of testing?
Well, I think there's a change in climate at the moment, and in fact, we are getting a tremendous amount of support. I'm very sad that some people are not supporting us, and I am very keen to engage in further dialogue on this to explain our point of view. We are certainly looking at an experiment. We've chosen wheat because it is our most important crop, and aphids are the most important pest on it. Look, we can work on winter wheat. As you know, we've got it in Cadenza, which is a winter wheat and a spring wheat.
Yeah,
we're doing the experiment.
Aphids, it's not a problem in spring wheat.
Last year we had a big problem of aphids in spring sown wheat and in wheat at that time.
Four
year.
Out
this
of
is
the
an
last
experiment.
Six seasons,
we
there's
can,
been no aphid
we
problems
can do it.
In the UK. Four out of the last six seasons, there's been
we
no aphid problems.
Aphids transmit a virus to wheat, as you know, barley yellow dwarf virus in wheat.
though it's got that name, and that is transmitted by aphids in
and
the
that
autumn.
Can also
we
be,
will
that
can, move
and
to that,
that. That becomes well, a problem nobody, because of nobody, early okay, June, yeah. you can deal with that problem.
Let's just step back, because the point, of course, of the winter and the summer is that summer wheat tends to be a crop that is grown more in the USA, right? It's something that they use more, which suggests that what your long-term plans...
No, there's no conspiracy here, Emily. We're very keen to see how this kind of approach works. Winter wheat would be a very nice model, but it would be a lot more expensive to do the experiments initially on that. We're doing it in spring-sown wheat, in a wheat variety that can be grown as a winter wheat.
Yes, but if you're looking at this properly, if you're talking about serious ecological interactions to deal with aphids, this trial should be looking more at the margins of the field margins, the hedgerows alongside.
The trees
what gives you the right to say this kind of trial, this kind of science should not go ahead?
Because I have a lot of experience and I feel very passionately about it. I'm a farmer myself. My family has a farm in Iowa, and I've directly seen the impact of GM agriculture and intensification of agriculture on our family farm in Iowa. And it's not just about the land. It is very much about the land in one sense, in the fact that now farmers are being pushed and pushed and pushed to cultivate huge acreages. They plow to the margins of the fields. They to get the maximum crop out of their fields.
I can't take that.
You are making moral decisions the whole time about
the
kind of
society. The thing is, we can sit here and cherry pick all kinds of stories, because there are mixed stories coming back from all kinds of experiments.
But I have lots of
just let Tracy Brown talk.
But scenarios.
But which is actually why it is that it would be much more valuable for you guys to be involved in a debate rather than to come in and just rip up the experiment. There's an awful lot of information. I mean, for example...
Well, at the moment, you don't seem to be wanting to go ahead with the debate with us. On Tuesday, we've offered a public debate with you where we can discuss these points.
What we'd like to do is a more thorough debate in The Guardian, on the newspaper.
Well, we think that the debate really should precede you attempting to destroy the experiment, if that's what you're going to do.
But if we haven't talked... If we didn't threaten it, you wouldn't have asked us.
At least we can see the results of the debate before you attack the goal.
That sounds like you're saying that you're not going to go ahead with ripping up the crop on the 27th, but would much rather go ahead with the debate.
I'm not saying either direction.
Do you think this will go ahead? Do you think your trial will succeed?
There are many problems of doing experiments in the field. We have to do this experiment. We've done a lot of work in the lab prior to it. Experiments don't normally work the first time. We've got to see how it stands up to the rigors of the outside ecology. I think it would be a very good experiment if we can continue.
That's not a variable you're looking at. Farmers have been testing this sort of thing for centuries, and they've been working with slow evolution,
So what do you make of the Farmers Union, the National Farmers Union, who says categorically, we have to use every tool in the toolbox to fight what could be growth and population and starvation?
No, you're the...
So they don't count. So the National Farmers Union
that are working on a lower level to actually...
Many conventional farmers, and you have to look at the farming press in this last week, many conventional farmers have come out and said, this trial is irrelevant. We had one farmer on the video just earlier. This trial is irrelevant. This work is irrelevant.
No, this is not true.
Many conventional farmers are
whether people are pro or anti. Yeah. And I think we need to stop asking people that question, because what GM does is it opens up a very exciting and interesting area of research that may provide answers to some of the most pressing questions.
And are you going to let that go ahead? Has your mind been changed by this discussion?
I would like to discuss it further, and I'd like to encourage you to look at the wider social implications
and we'll discuss it with you as much as you like.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much indeed. Thank you. If you understand the complexities of how the trader they call the London Whale lost